Alrighty then. Welcome. Tis Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Okay, last call, four calls on this subject, and if nobody cares, it's okay. I don't take it personally. I've got a ton of things we can talk about today, but I just thought in light of the Patrick Mahomes meltdown last night as the Buffalo Bills beat the Kansas City Chiefs, and the conversations everywhere about officiating, in particular in the NFL, that it might be interesting to find out if you had confidence in the competence of people who are officiating your favorite teams and your favorite sports. Don't think I've ever heard so consistent and so across the board and across the country so many complaints during an NFL season as I've heard this year. And it seems to be universal. You can't say, well, it's the Bills complaining or it's the Chiefs complaining. Everybody seems to have an issue with the officiating in the NFL. And I don't know what the answer is. Is the answer robots, robotic technology? Is the answer everything is reviewed in a millisecond, and we know if anybody was truly in the neutral zone infraction, offside, if somebody actually committed pass interference, do we want robots to take over officiating of sporting events? You're probably going to get more accuracy, but you're also going to have an increased, well, dehumanization of what is essentially a human pastime, and that is playing sports. And the other thing that I thought would be good, and again, this is the last call for calls on this subject, those of you who either do currently spend or who have spent time as officials for youth sports. Yeah, I've done this topic within the last 4 months, but given the current rage, and you can take that in both senses of the word, regarding officials of sporting events, why did you get out of it? Like, why did you get into it, and why did you get out of it? I have made the point. Oh, let me give you the phone number on WBEN, 803-0930. That usually helps. 803-0930 is the phone number, *930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. 803-0930, *930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. And many years ago, we're talking back in the 1950s and 1960s, my dad was quite a talented softball pitcher in the Kenmore town of Tonawanda area. He was actually quite good. But look, we didn't have a lot of bread coming into the Bowerly family exchequer on a weekly basis. So the old man, and that's what we called him, and it's not disrespectful, believe me, if that's what he called himself, he'd have no objection to my calling him the old man on the radio. I was there with him. You were not there, so I win that argument by default. But he would do it to supplement the money, and I will. And the money, hey, back then the money wasn't that great. I want to say maybe $20, but when you're a kid, you don't have much concept of what a $20 bill is or what $20 can buy. You're a kid. You're not exactly Rockefeller, and you know, not exactly checking your mutual funds with Vanguard every day because you're a kid. But hey, there were people who did it, like my dad, to supplement income coming into the family. But after a while, and it wasn't a long while, I might add, he basically got sick of the abuse. It wasn't worth the aggravation that he had to take for what essentially was a pittance in terms of remuneration. And who can blame him? So, all right, last call, four calls on that particular topic at 803-0930, *930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. 803-0930, *930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. And as far as Patrick Mahomes is concerned, I realize this will not exactly make me more popular, But I happen to really like Patrick Mahomes as a guy who has shown, oh, once or twice, that he can go out and he can win the biggie and get it done all the way. I admire his talent. I admire his skill. But yesterday, he did not have, in my opinion, a legitimate beef with the officials. And that seems to be the universal opinion of people who are in the know with all things National Football League. And frankly, I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, if you want to talk about the Buffalo Bills, I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers had a much more valid complaint when the Buffalo Bills were not flagged for pass interference on that Hail Mary pass, which effectively ended a game and gave the Buffalo Bills one in the win column. And if you were going to enforce the rules rigidly and strictly, there's no way that game would have ended in that particular fashion. But I think Tampa Bay had much more of a reasonable basis for complaint than did Kansas City in that game. But all I can say is thank goodness the Buffalo Bills won that game, because had they lost that game on that particular play with Kelsey, it would have been another one of a series of legendary epic losses by the Buffalo Bills. And it would have been against Kansas City, which would have been further salt and lemon juice on the wound, which is not very good. It's like eating chicken wings with a hangnail. It teaches you where your hangnails are in a big hurry. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Let us go to Tomas. Tom in Lancaster. Tom, you are on. Hello.
Hey, Tom. How you doing? Yeah, that was a blatant call yesterday. He was definitely offsides. His foot was right on the line, so I don't know why Mahomes was whining. Basically, I think he was whining and crying. The same thing with the coaches, because they don't have those calls usually go against them. They're used to everything going their way. But that's besides.
Well, and the funny thing is, if you go to the Kansas City Chiefs fans pages on Facebook and other social media sites, they think that the Bills whine and complain too much about the calls going against them. And the point I'm trying to make is, it's like every NFL team seems to think that there is this conspiracy against them on the part of officials. But please go ahead.
Yes, yeah, that's true. But besides that point, I played Little League baseball, Babe Ruth baseball, and high school baseball. I was a pitcher. That's all I ever. It was my only position. So, you know, I didn't have to deal with calls. I always respected the umpire's calls, whatever they made, whether it's strike, ball, you know, whatever. But I also officiated softball, girls and men's, down in Florida and up here in New York. And one thing I always did as an umpire, first of all, I learned the rules. I went to an umpire school for softball, not hardball. I learned the rules, the basic rules, infield fly, et cetera. And when I umpired a game, I was behind the plate. I dusted it off to the best of my ability. And what a lot of people I don't think understand that have never played the game, that the black part of the home plate is also in play. So if that ball crosses the black part of the plate, that's a strike. So I made sure that my home plate was cleaned off perfectly and the black stripe was exposed. And the only time I ever got into an officiating differential with a player was down in Florida. This guy was running towards first base and a tag was applied to him. And I called him out, and the player, you know, argued with me, threatened me and all this stuff. And I said, listen, I not only saw the call, I heard it. And he was like, you heard it? Yeah, I said, I heard the glove hit your body. So that's the only part of an officiating issue that I got into. But other than that, I enjoyed it. I got paid $35 a game down there and up here. Now I know it's higher now. That was 30 years ago. I know they pay more, and they pay more for hardball especially. But that's just my point of view, Tom.
Just out of curiosity, why would they pay more for hardball than softball?
Well, first of all, softball, 7 innings. Hardball's 9 innings. Hardball, you have to be behind a plate with a mask and a guard and so on and so forth. And, usually there's 3 umpires in hardball or 2. In softball, there was 2. So it's a more demanding game in hardball.
And allow me to say this, sir, that every Sunday morning you should listen to Hard Line with Joe Beamer, our weekly political show here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Very few softball questions, much more hardball questions, and that's why we call it Hard Line with Joe Beamer. And thank you for giving me, Tom, the opportunity to seamlessly work in that plug for another show on the station. I really appreciate that. Made me sound professional. Thanks, Tom.
You're welcome, Tom. Bye-bye.
803-0930, *930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Let's get back to the calls, shall we, together. And David in Hamburg. David, you are on WBEN. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Tom. I'm sorry about your dad's experience, Tom, very much. Because I've heard that many times, and I've been very fortunate. For years, I did modified JV and varsity girls and boys soccer in Cattaraugus and Chautauqua counties, occasionally up in Erie County. And for the most part, there were 2 of us on the field. And the parents were quite well behaved and so on, with a few exceptions, but it was a good experience. So, and I'm sorry to hear that people, don't respect the officials. And I've made my mistakes, there's no question. I was insulted a few times. I was insulted by parents saying, you make, or coach saying, the coaches were worse than the parents. Yes. And one would say to me, you're worse than, and I won't say the name, that you're worse ref than so-and-so. And he was an old-timer. I'm fairly old, too, but he was really old. But he was a gentleman from England.
my goodness. Well, keep going with these stories.
Okay, one more thing. Sports should be about fitness, camaraderie, teamwork, and fun for the kids. So these incidents that happen, even parents assaulting coaches and referees, it's just beyond the pale to me. So, Go ahead.
Truly, truly beyond the pale, and the ultimate result is going to be nobody is going to want to take that on as a part-time gig or to, quote, give back to the community. And unfortunately, it's like with some teams have a team culture that is worse than other teams. And all due respect to my listeners in Hamilton, Ontario, but I'll tell you something, the parents of your girls' hockey team during the early part of the 2000s really were not very nice people, and they were the most ill-behaved parents that I had ever seen. And I was not alone in my assessment of that. And frankly, the Canadian referees, and here I go bitching about the referees, but I did find them to be very biased against the American teams and very in favor of the Canadian teams. And it wasn't even divorcing emotion and my own personal vested interest from it. I can honestly tell you that is my objective opinion. I'm not saying it because of any other reason than, wow, I can't believe they called this and they didn't call that. What's going on? And it did seem kind of hinky, and it smelled kind of fishy.
Really? I agree. And may you say something about professional officiating?
Of course.
Sure. The Bills, we've taken it, I think, over the years, got, and maybe even the Sabres, I'm familiar with them, bad calls have hurt us, I think, more than not, than against, than that were for us. So, and that's unfortunate. And, professional soccer, what they do now is they have the referees watching the videos from all different angles. You're familiar with that. And like in the World Cup. And that seems to have helped.
Well, let me just give you a little bit of sports trivia. Go back and I want you to watch the highlight of the FIFA 1966 final World Cup between West Germany and Great Britain. There was a controversial goal, and for many, many years, the question was it a goal or was it not a goal? But when you go back with today's technology and the ability to stop and slow, I am happy to report that the UK absolutely, positively won that match fair and square. It was absolutely a goal back in 1966. Absolutely wow. A goal.
Excellent. So, you know about the goal, the hand of God goal?
Well, which one was that?
That was the famous, the great player. He just, what was his name? From Argentina, I believe. Maradona.
Maradona.
Yeah, Maradona, I think it is. They think it was a deliberate handball, and it wasn't called, and they won the World Cup, and they called it. And he was a great player, but it was the goal was called, I believe it's called, the Hand of God.
Omaha? Is that the guy's name?
No, I think it was Maradona.
Maradona. I was trying to get some input there from Tanner Saunders. Well, we tried our best, but I'd be lying if I told you that I was the world's biggest FIFA World Cup fan. But I must tell you, go back and watch that game. It's in color. It's on YouTube, and it absolutely was a goal. Originally, it was ruled. Originally, it was a goal. Then it was no goal. Then they changed it to goal. And it's one of the great moments in sports. I'm not even a big soccer fan, and I was fascinated by that whole controversy, and I appreciate your call, sir. Thank you kindly.
Excellent. Thank you.
It is 4:29 at News Radio 930 WBEN. It is rather interesting seeing today's technology applied to sports controversy of years gone by. And by the way, if you ever get a chance, go back and watch some of the old movies of some of the old fighters like Jack Johnson. And if you really want to see, a guy get the heck kicked out of him, watch the Jack Johnson against Tommy Burns fight in Australia from 1906 or somewhere in that era. And Tommy Burns was my size, and he was going up against Jack Johnson, who was 6'2" and made of nothing but muscle and sinew. Didn't end too well for Tommy Burns, whose real name was Noah Brusso. It is 4:29 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Bowerly with you on the radio on a Monday afternoon, after I almost thought it was a Tuesday earlier during the program. Oh, yeah, baby. There's a story behind this. Oh, I could listen to this all day. And I might just do that. Do you guys mind? I know it's past 4:20, but... Now, so anyway, just thinking about Patrick Mahomes here. We're going to get into some other topics, don't you worry. But kind of funny because at the Montego Bay, well, the Sanger Airport in Montego Bay, Jamaica, there is a bar. Imagine that, me in a bar. Go figure. But there's a bar, and it's basically Bob Marley's bar. Of course, he doesn't get chance to enjoy it because he died far too young in the early 1980s of a very fast... Actually, it was a tumor that started in his feet, and it metastasized so quickly all over the place. And he gave advice to his children. He said, all the money in the world can't buy your health. And Bob Marley, again, left us far too early. But don't let me get off track. One of the features of the Bob Marley Bar and Grill, I guess you would call it, at the Sanger Airport in Montego Bay, Jamaica, is they've got Bob Marley's Volkswagen microbus, the Volkswagen, you know, the mini, you know, before we had minivans, you know, the VW microbus. I think it was the microbus. Now I'm having a brain glitch, but it was the one really owned by Bob Marley. And they've got pictures of Bob Marley complete with that old, perfectly restored VW. And it was really kind of a treat, but that's not the reason I'm bringing this up. The reason I'm bringing it up is there was a lady seated at the bar, and as the individual with whom I was traveling was off perhaps looking at souvenirs, the lady turned around and she looked at me, and I noticed that she was wearing a Kansas City Chiefs baseball cap. And it wasn't just any Kansas City Chiefs baseball cap. This thing had to go for about 100 and a half. It was a very well-made Kansas City Chiefs baseball cap. So she's given me the eye, and I'm not sure why, because I was looking. Do I have something on me that says Buffalo Bills? Do I just scream Buffalo? And I wasn't sure. And I walked up to her, and I said, "Pardon me, ma'am. I'm not going to tell you from where I come, but let me simply say the following words to you. 13 seconds. And she burst into laughter, and she said words to the effect of, "I knew by the way you were looking at the hat that you had to be from Buffalo." But that's a true story. I'm not going to tell you from where I come, but 13 seconds. And we bonded over that. Yes, we did. Oh, her husband was there. It wasn't anything like that, but it was kind of fun. And that's a case of football bringing people together. And honestly, I don't think he was right yesterday, but I am a fan of Patrick Mahomes. I think the man's an amazing athlete, tough competitor, and on at least two big occasions, he got the job done and was able to take his team all the way, not just some of the way, but all of the way, and has some hardware to show for it. But it is sad to realize that, and I'm not saying this is the case with Patrick Mahomes at all, but it is sad when you read how many professional athletes end up absolutely broke because they don't understand that even though they might make $26 million a year, the government is going to make half of that for doing absolutely nothing, because that's what the government does. It robs from us. It takes our money. And a lot of these guys, no matter how much they make, they end up being bankrupt. Some of them make bad business deals. There have been NFL stars who made tons of money who got suckered into putting their names on car dealerships and restaurant chains and everything else. And I swear, if you ever become, like this is going to be an issue in your family, I'm sure, but if you ever become a multimillionaire athlete, you have to get a financial advisor that you trust, one with a track record. And by the way, get another financial advisor to keep an eye on the person you've hired in the first place and make sure they're not in cahoots, because these guys screwed like the 1950s and 1960s rock stars used to get screwed by their managers and by their promoters, and everybody was ladling all the good stuff from the bottom and leaving the band with just the broth in all too many cases. But Larry Bird, very famous basketball player. In fact, they might as well just rename the entire state of Indiana Larry Bird. That's how big Larry Bird is in Indiana. But he used to tell the young guys coming into the NBA, he would always tell them, "Okay, you've just signed a $50 million contract. What you have to realize, young man, is you are 22 years old. You have a basketball career that might go 8 to 10 years, okay? If you're lucky, you'll get out of it with very minor injuries, and they won't affect your quality of life. I mean, look at somebody like Bobby Orr, for example. Bobby Orr hurt his knee at a time when we didn't have, medicine did not have the kind of knee surgery that is available today. And what they're able to do today with surgery is absolutely amazing. Of course, I know this because I think I've experimented with each and every one of the new technologies they put out there. But Larry Bird used to give the speech to all the young hotshots coming in. And so many of his former teammates did not listen to Larry Bird. Larry Bird lived a very modest lifestyle for a guy who racked up the kind of income that he did. He was not driving around in a fleet of Rolls Royces and a posse. I said posse. He was not wearing 10-carat diamond earrings. He wasn't doing that. He took good care of his money, and he didn't blow it. And as a result, Larry Bird has a sizable fortune that he was able to amass because he didn't fritter his money away by going out to dinner every night on Main Street in Williamsville. Now, he didn't fritter his money away. No pun intended, by the way, on fritter. And to this day, and this is kind of sad, to this day, his former teammates will try to hit Larry Bird up for money. Hey, bro, can you spare a few million dollars for a guy who helped you become the person you are? And Larry Bird always says no to people. And he says, look, I always told you to save your money and not spend like a drunken sailor, because sooner or later, those big paychecks were going to come to an end, and you had to plan for the future. Larry Bird did, and so many of his contemporaries did not do so. So there's a lesson in there. Hey, seriously, there's a lesson in there in that whole story. But anyway, we have so many things to get into on News Radio 930 WBEN. We did mention earlier, we did a segment with Gina Latuca from the SPCA. We are doing the Radiothon to benefit the SPCA serving Erie County. That will be on Wednesday. Susan Rose is going to be down there in person. Tim Wenger will be down there in person. A couple of Buffalo Broadcast Hall of Famers in one room. David Bellavia is going to be there, Medal of Honor recipient. And then for some strange reason, I'm in that crowd. I'll be doing the show from 2 to 6 from the SPCA serving Erie County. And what else? We'll have a lot of people down there, but the key is to raise money for this organization, which does so much for the community. And just my little script here that I'm to read, I want to do this word for word because I don't want to screw up anything. And this is all happening on Wednesday. The SPCA serving Erie County, December 13th, the SPCA is going to open the adoption floor early at 9:30 a.m. Get it? For anyone looking to adopt a friend on this special day, you can enjoy off adoption fees or take part in their Vets and Pets program on this day only. Okay, that's this coming Wednesday. Visit our event page at WBEN.com for details and how to donate. And just so you are aware, I have become the first angel for the animals for 2023. But if I win the Annie tickets, station policy, I cannot accept those. So I will put them back in the hopper. So even if I win the tickets, I cannot go because it's, frankly, it's unethical. And it would be, you know, we talked before about the appearance of impropriety. That would have the appearance of impropriety to it. And I do not wish to have my name, you know, dragged through the mud over something like that, because that would just be kind of, that'd be kind of silly and stupid. 451. I mean, there's so many other names. There's so many other ways to drag my name through the mud. You don't have to go to that level, believe me. Anyway, it is 4:52 at News Radio 930 WBEN. And as I mentioned several times, so many things to get into on the program today. And I want to get into this one, which has been on my mind. And I want to see if this is going to work. And hopefully it does, and I will love you the rest of today. And if it doesn't, you and I are going to go to couples counseling together because this is a relationship, and we will have to make it work better. But can we talk, please, about tipping? And again, this is a subject, yeah, I've done it before. I don't know that I've done it in the last year. And tipping is something we didn't spend an awful lot of time discussing prior to the pandemic. And frankly, prior to the pandemic, most people, I dare say that most people, if they called in an order and they picked up their food, they were not tipping for a takeout pickup order. Okay, you called in, you ordered your food, you went in, you paid for it, there was no tip, and you walked away. Now, things changed, and you know because you saw it happen before your very eyes. Things changed dramatically during the pandemic, and a lot of people started to tip, and quite frankly, tip very well during the pandemic. Why? Because we, as human beings, appreciated the work that was being done by people in the service industry. And the service industry, without those folks, we would be in a world of hurt. And during the pandemic, we would have been awfully hungry as well. And there is nothing wrong with somebody who works in the service industry. So many people look down on other people for what they do for a living, and it is so irritating to me sometimes. In fact, all the time it is, because if somebody is good at what they do, whether they are a plumber, an electrician, or whether they are a waiter or a waitress at a restaurant, a server at a restaurant, it's hard work. Being a server is a lot harder job than many of you think it is. And I've never done it for a living, but I've talked to people who have done it for many, many years. And if you think it's easy, you are so wrong. In fact, one of the topics I want to put into this whole mix here as we enter into the final hour. And by the way, where did this show go today? I mean, talk about, I know that when you like doing what it is you do for a living, time goes by very fast, but this is a little bit ridiculous. What, did I enter a UFO in the 3 o'clock hour and did it put me in some time transport tunnel? Highly unlikely, but there's always the chance. But, and you know, I'm a little tender on my bum sitting down. All right, coming up, I do want to get into this as one of our topics. I want to get into the whole tipping situation, and I would love to hear from people who have been servers in restaurants about what your biggest aggravation happens to be about pain in the butt customers. I am dying to know the answer to those questions. And we got a lot of other things too, because I always have a ton of things to talk about. But tipping. As much as I love and respect people in the service industry, I think in some cases this tipping thing has gone a little bit too far. And maybe I'm just jealous because I don't have an electronic tip jar on the Facebook page for WBEN, but wouldn't that be a hoot and a riot if I did? Like, hey, if you like today's show, what would your tip be? $20? $40? $100? How about $100 billion. That would be so awesome. Don't worry, Tanner. You get to wet your beak on that, okay? You get at least 3%. At least.
Oh, thank you. That's very sweet.
Don't call me Ebenezer Scrooge. We have a lot of fun coming up in the final hour of the program on News Radio 930 WBEN. Don't go anywhere. We're the only place to be. News Radio 930 WBEN.